So today we are going to wrap up this series that we are in called Weeds. Somebody say weeds. Somebody say weeds. We're not talking about something that you smoke. I'm talking about the thing that grows in gardens and on sidewalks and in grass. Weeds. Come on, how many of you guys know about weeds? Know about some weeds? So is like anybody's parents really into like lawn care or gardening or something like that? Yeah, come on. How many of you guys' parents have ever made you pull weeds before? Like, is that not the most annoying thing to do in the world, man? So like, my dad was like super into lawn care, right? And so I remember like they always like built, like they just made our yard spectacular. Since I've taken over the house, I have thus killed it because I'm horrible with gardens and flowers and plants. I know, it's so bad. But I remember growing up, like my dad had this thing where it's like, hey, like before you come into the house, you have to pull at least 10 weeds. Like anytime you're outside, before you come back inside, you have to pull weeds. Like weeds out of the garden beds, like weeds, they could have been in like the cracks in the driveway, y'all. Like my dad was not about some weeds, man. So I know all about some weeds. So for the past couple of months, really, in response to really what we saw in 2020, the false Christianity that has been revealed and exposed that so many people are living and walking, and me and Pastor Sam felt led, is to say, hey, we need to teach them what real Christianity looks like. We need to teach them what real Christianity looks like. And so we did a series on that. Then we did a series called The Garden, right? Where we talked about the garden of our hearts and how Jesus wants certain things planted in our lives so that we'll actually look like real Christians, so that we'll look like real kingdom people, right? Is that okay? Is everybody tracking so far? Right? And so then after Jesus tells us the eight principles that we're called to plant in our lives, he tells us, listen, is that there are some weeds that you need to watch out for. That if you're not careful, these weeds can grow in your garden. And what makes weeds so dangerous is that they actually choke the life out of what you want in your garden. Right? So listen, you don't want weeds in the garden of your heart because it will choke the life of God out of it. Does that make sense? Right, man? So some of the weeds that we talked about so far in Matthew 5, it's unchecked anger, it's lust. It's false commitments, meaning saying one thing and doing another. This past Wednesday, we kind of talked about hating your haters is a weed. And so this morning, I want to talk about the last weed that we're going to talk about. So if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 5. Come on, go to Matthew chapter 5 today, verse 38. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. It says this. It says, your ancestors who have also been taught, take an eye in exchange for an eye and a tooth in exchange for a tooth. However, I say to you, don't repay an evil act with an evil act, but whoever insults you by slapping you on the right cheek, turn the other to him as well. If someone is determined to sue you for your coat, give him the shirt off your back as a gift in return. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Learn to generously share what you have with those who ask for help, and don't close your heart to those who come to borrow from you. So, who in here has ever been hurt by someone before? Come on, who in here? Come on, every hand should be in the air, right? Come on, how many guys in here have ever had anybody lie about you and spread rumors about you? Right? Come on, how many of you had that friend who you thought was a friend? Right? And then that moment they turn on you. And then you're like, yo, what in the heck happened? Right? And now they're like, they're talking about you. They're gossiping about you behind your back. And man, it hurt. Come on. Maybe you were in a relationship and somebody cheated on you. Can I let y'all know about my first girlfriend? Y'all, I was in love. Your boy was smooth back in elementary school. I lost it in middle school. I don't know what happened. Luckily, today I'm married. But I remember, man, listen, this hurts so bad that I've forgotten her government name and I don't even want to remember, right? So, but I do remember my best friend. I was just like in first grade, y'all. So, you know, cut deep. My best friend was Tyler. And and my first girlfriend, all I know is she was Hispanic, is that, and so me and this girl, right, we start going out. And then, like, everything is blissful. Everything is great, you know, as first grade love always is. And then I find out that not only is she dating me, but she's also dating my best friend, Tyler.
She belongs to the streets.
Shoot, y'all. This is like, it wasn't even some random kid in the class. It was my best friend, Tyler, right? And I was just devastated. So I said, you know what? We done, right? And I was hurt, man. You know, maybe someone has insulted you. Come on, maybe someone's cussed you out. My man in the back said, yeah. Right? And maybe they said mean things about you. Man, maybe they mistreated you. Maybe they neglected you. Maybe you've had a parent who didn't decide to stick around and you feel neglected. Maybe you have a parent in the house who, man, is just going through some really rough times and they're like a wall. They don't talk to anybody. And they don't pay any attention to you. I mean, or maybe they're so busy with work that you feel ignored and you're neglected. I mean, maybe someone has abused you. Come on, I've been verbally abused before. It's not fun. Come on, maybe someone sexually took advantage of you. Maybe someone made promises to you that they never followed through with. Maybe they made you look bad and caused other people to make fun of you. Come on, I don't know what your situation is today in this room, but what I can tell you is this, that every single person in this room at some point or another has been hurt. All right? Maybe some are more serious than others, but man, how many of you guys know, man, that pain is pain, right? And man, it hurts, you know? And like, I think a lot of times, we like to downplay our pain because maybe in our eyes it wasn't that big. But dude, like, how many guys, like, some of the things that hurt the worst are some of the smallest injuries? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Like, you get that paper cut and, like, you think you're about to die. And you can get shot in your right leg and you're like, I'm okay. But this paper cut, bro. You know? So maybe you're like, yo, man, I was never sexually taken advantage of. But man, when my dad made those promises to me and he didn't follow through, I mean, it actually cut deep. It actually really hurt. See, and here's the truth, guys, is that unfortunately, it is impossible to avoid pain. If you have not experienced pain, if you have not been offended, guess what? One day you will have the chance to. Okay, one day you will have the chance to. Jesus said this. He says, man, offenses will come. AKA, people will do you wrong. They will mistreat you. They will cheat you. They will insult you. Listen, it's going to happen. And a lot of times we're hurt worse by the ones that we love the most or the ones that are closest to us. See, but what I want to know is this. Is that I want you to think back to your moment of pain. Maybe it's light for you, maybe it's heavy for you, but I want to know, how did you respond? Like, how did you respond when you were hurt? Come on, like when that person cussed you out, how did you respond? Did you cuss them out back? Yo, I don't know who you think you are, but.
Your mama.
Yeah, your mama. You know? You know, what was your response when your so-called friends gossiped and spread rumors about you? You know, I just, we had a situation one time in the youth ministry, right, where there, one kid hopped on Insta Live and started talking about another kid. And so this kid found out about it. So do you know what they did? They hopped on Insta Live and started talking about them, right? Then it was just like this drama feud back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But I mean, isn't that the way that culture tells us to respond, right? Like, yo, if you hurt me, I'm gonna hurt you back. You know, I think, honestly, guys, I think for most people, like the most natural response to getting hurt is a desire for revenge. It's a desire for revenge. What does revenge mean? Revenge is this, It's to inflict injury or hurt in return for hurting you. Really what revenge is, it's taking justice into your own hands. See, most people live by the rule that says, man, a tooth for a tooth or an eye for an eye. Meaning is that, man, I'm going to repay evil with evil. Right? Like, man, I've heard of marriages and relationships, right? Man, where someone cheats on them, and so they say, you know what? I'm going to cheat on you. Right? Or maybe someone cheats on them, and so they go over to the apartment and they trash it. Right? You did evil to me, man, so I'm going to do evil to you. Right? Yo, man, you talked about me. Man, you smeared my name in the mud. Man, so I'm going to, bro, by the time I'm done with you, people are going to hate you. Right? Like, we get cut. We want to cut back, right? Like, someone punches us, what's the most natural response? You know? It's on. All right, we say, you did evil to me, so I'm going to do evil to you. And here's why. Because you must pay for what you did. Guys, at the heart of revenge is this. It's saying, man, you have to pay for what you did to me. See, listen, like, and here's how the process of revenge works. In fact, before we go there, revenge sounds like thinking or saying phrases like this, is that, man, I'm going to make them pay. How many of you guys have ever had that thought before? Someone hurts you and you said, man, I'm going to make them pay for what they did to me, right? Or, man, or maybe it sounds like this, I'll get them back. Or it sounds like, man, I hope you get what you deserve. Right? Man, or maybe it even sounds like this, man. Man, I hope you burn in hell. Like, can we get real? Because you're so hurt. Because you've been mistreated. You've been insulted, and you've been neglected, you've been abused, you've been taken advantage of. And now, you want that person to pay for what they did to you. Right, man? You know, or maybe wanting revenge looks like this, you know, is that whenever someone begins to compliment that person that hates you, you feel this deep hatred rise up in your heart. Right? Right, man? Or like maybe when that person gets hurt is that you actually rejoice on the inside over their pain. Like something bad, something unfortunate happens to them, and on the inside you're like, yes. You got what you deserve. Right? Like, y'all, am I the only one? Am I the only one? You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. You know, it's retaliating when you're hurt. You know, it's getting angry when someone talks good about the person who hurt you, right? And you say, man, if only they knew who you really were. You know, I remember, man, when I was in, I don't know how old I was, whatever, I was a kid. And I remember I was molested by one of my sister's friends who was a guy. His name was Cy. And I remember, guys, I wanted Cy to die. Because I felt like Cy took something from me that I could never get back. And I remember I had like this wooden game shelf. It was about this high. And it was covered with the sheet. And I remember I would get so angry and I would get so upset that I would take a quarter and I would peel back the covering and I would literally carve in the wood and I would say, I hate Cy. I would write it over and over and over and over again and cover it back up, hoping that no one saw it. Is that, man, I wanted revenge so bad. I wanted that kid to pay for what he did to me, for taking something from me that I felt like I could never get back. See, I wanted revenge. See, this is how revenge usually works. Let me kind of... Can you guys see it over there a little bit, kind of, right? You guys over here, if you're over there, I'm sorry. It's the best I got. So what happens in revenge, right, is first you get hurt. Somebody mistreats you, someone insults you, someone says something about you, whatever, right? And then what happens from there? See, this right here is a critical step. How you respond after you get hurt will determine the rest of your life. Because listen, there are people who are 60 who are still dealing with hurts from happening to them, man, when they were 5 or 6 years old. Because they didn't handle this right here. And so we get hurt, and then what most people do is then they begin to walk in unforgiveness. I'm going to just call it UF. Unforgiveness, right? Is that, man, there's bitterness that wells up in their heart. They hold a grudge. They don't forgive them. And then whenever I begin to let unforgiveness seep in my heart, see, here's the danger of unforgiveness. It's like drinking poison and hoping that the other person dies. Is that the only person that unforgiveness affects is you. And I'm holding this in this prison. And like, whenever I have unforgiveness towards somebody, it's almost like I'm holding them in a prison waiting for them to pay for what they did. So I have unforgiveness. Then unforgiveness leads to hatred. Right? And I begin to actually hate the person that hurt me. I hate them for what they did to me. And man, and then after hatred, it's this thing where it's, and I want justice, right? I want justice for what was done to me. Is that the person who hurt me has to pay. And then what a lot of people do is they move to revenge, right? Which is, man, I'm going to take justice into my own hands. Is that I'm going to make that person pay. And sometimes that's like these really crazy stories that we hear, right? Or like I said, it's like someone gets cheated on and they lose it, you know, and you're like, that person's crazy, you know? Or man, it can be even small stuff. Like, I'm not going to talk to that person anymore. You know? Like it can be a big reaction, it can be a small reaction, but I'm still taking justice into my own hands. But here's the thing, at the root of revenge is always unforgiveness. It's always because, man, I didn't forgive that person for what they did to me. Does that make sense? Are you guys tracking? Yes, no? You guys with me? Cool. So here's the truth about taking revenge into your own hands, is that the result of getting revenge is never good. You know, I've like never heard a story where someone went and they got revenge and the outcome was good. Like, if you can think of one, tell me. But I've never heard a story, man, where someone went and they took justice into their own hands and they got revenge. And afterwards, they said, man, I'm really healed right now. I mean, that you know, whenever my mom yelled at me and I yelled back at her, man, the outcome was so much better. False. Come on, how do you guys know when your parents yell at you and you get mad and you start yelling at them back? What happens? Some of y'all are like, I ain't never yelling at my mama. Good for you, right? What happens? You die. If it's my mom, right? But listen, like, the outcome is never good. You know, like, no one has ever said, man, I got healed. Like, no one has ever said, man, I feel whole now. Right, man? Like, no one has ever said, you know? And most people who even take revenge, after they do it, they say, man, why do I still feel hurt? Like, why didn't that actually help me feel better? Is that most people, guys, that's, like, revenge, it never leads to your healing. It never does. There's not a single moment. Ever. Now listen, and here's what the Bible says about vengeance in Romans 12:9. It says, beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge. Listen to this. But leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scriptures say, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Now listen, I don't know about you, but like, if I want vengeance, like, I'd rather leave it to God. You know? Because listen, like, God's going to repay. Like, God will repay every single time. Like, and listen to what Proverbs 24:29 says. It says, and don't say, now I can pay them back for what they've done to me. I'll get even with them. Like, if there's never been a more clear scripture in the Bible. And don't say, now I can pay them back for what they've done to me. I'll get even with them. All right, so if repaying evil with evil is not how we're supposed to respond, then my question is, how do we actually respond when we get mistreated, when we get insulted, when we get cheated, when we get hurt? Because listen, it's gonna happen. And if you don't know how to respond here, like if you don't know the alternate route that you're supposed to take when you get hurt, man, you could end up here. You know, and I'm gonna write the word false justice here. Better word. So listen to what Romans 12:17 says. It says, never pay back evil with more evil. And so we know that's our standard, but check out what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Because Jesus, like, he doesn't just say, like, don't repay evil with evil, but I mean, he takes it even further, y'all. Check out this. He says, but whoever insults you by slapping you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek to him as well. Now, Rico, come here. Come here. I've been waiting to do this. No, right? So, right here, my man. Right, so listen, in Jewish culture, like, okay, so number one, I have to say this, is that this, in Jewish culture, this is not considered abuse. Jesus is not saying, hey, listen, if you're getting physically abused or sexually abused in some way, like, just take it. Okay, that's not what Jesus is saying here. Listen, I need you to stand right here. See, one of the deepest insults still to this day in Middle Eastern culture is to slap somebody with the back of your hand. Okay? Because listen, when I slap somebody with the back of your hand, what you're saying is that you are inferior to me. And that you're not even worth the front of my hand. All right? And guys, listen, and this was such a big deal in Jesus' day that if I slap Rico with the back of my hand, I just want to just go for it. You just don't know if it's going to happen.
I got a ring on this one.
Bro, hey, bro, don't repay evil with evil. Okay, but listen. So this is such a big deal back in the day that there's something called the Mishnah, which is like extra laws that the Jews made up. But if somebody were to slap you with the back of your hand, then they actually owed you $400.
Do it.
Please slap me. Oh, bro, you're just walking around all day. Right here, baby, right here. Come on, I'll take it. But listen, so like actually, so it's 400 denarii, which is way more than $400. Like 300 was like a year's wage. So imagine somebody owed you like over a year's wage. Okay? So like this was a big deal. And not only in Jewish law, but also in Roman law, this was a big deal where people owed you money. Okay? If you were to hit them with the back of your hand. And listen to what Jesus says. He says this. He says, hey, if someone slaps you with the back of your hand, offer to them the other cheek. Now, Jesus is not saying, hey, get paid double.
That's what I said.
Like, Jesus is not saying, yo, double down on that right there. Okay? That is not his intent. Like, what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, listen, like, the goal, thank you, Rico, so much. Jesus says, instead of retaliating and taking your money, offer the other cheek. This is crazy, guys. Like, when I was reading that, I was going, like, what? Jesus. I'll surely take my $400, right? Listen, and then next Jesus says this. In verse 40, he says, if you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. right? If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. Now, this is crazy, guys, right? Because if there was some kind of like weird legal thing, like clothes were a big deal back in biblical times. Okay, I don't know why someone would sue you for your shirt, but hey, whatever. Okay, like they got your shirt. But here's the thing, is that your coat was more expensive than your shirt. And your coat was actually, man, it was like a sign of your identity. It was very personal. Like, and you were legally entitled to your coat. Like, no one could take your coat from you. Okay? So your North Face is really important. No. Okay? Like, listen, like, people didn't have closets full of clothes, okay, back then. They only had a few outfits. But here's the thing. So what Jesus is saying, listen, is that when they take something from you, give something that's even more expensive to them. So when, like, yo, if they take your shirt from you, offer them your J's too. Right? It's like, Jesus, what are you talking about? Right? Yo, and then lastly, Jesus says this. He says, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. See, now back in the day, Roman soldiers had the right to stop any Jewish citizen, no matter what they were doing, no matter where they were, no matter what they were in the middle of, and they could make them carry all of their gear up to a mile. They could make them do it. It was Roman law. If a Jew said no, then they would get punished. Right? And listen, like the light infantry, their gear weighed from like 60 to 70 pounds. Okay, so can you imagine, like, first of all, you're in the middle of something important. You have to stop what you do, take your oppressor's gear and carry it for 60 to 60 pound gear, carry it for a mile and then walk back. Yeah, you forgot about the walk back part, right? Walk back is when your legs start burning. And Jesus says, listen, don't only go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Go the extra mile. Hey, can you play keys? So what is Jesus saying here? Because all of these, like everything that Jesus says, it doesn't make sense. It makes you go, Jesus, what are you talking about? And here's the thing, it's supposed to. Why? Because whenever the person who mistreats you and insults you and cheats you is trying to get a reaction from you and you respond kingdom, you're going to leave them so confused. Well, man, they're going to be like, dude, like, who the heck is this person? See, listen, as people following Jesus in the way of Jesus, we are called not to repay evil with evil, but we are called to repay evil with blessing. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:9. It says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. See, notice, man, in every instance that Jesus lists here, it's not about the offender getting what he deserves. It's about the offender getting what he doesn't deserve, which is grace and mercy. It's grace and mercy. See, when someone insults you, when someone hurts you, when someone mistreats you, man, when someone cheats you, it's not about you giving them what they do deserve. It's about you giving them what they don't deserve, which is grace and mercy and forgiveness. Guys, and that leads to your healing. See, it's about being for the good of someone who doesn't have your good in mind. And how can we do that? Why can we do that, man? Because isn't that what Jesus did for us? Like, isn't that what Jesus did for you and for me? When I didn't have his good in mind, man, where I could, you know, care less about God, he said, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do you good. It doesn't matter to me, man. I'm going to send my son down, and I'm going to have him brutally murdered and killed for you, even for the chance that you'll say yes to me. Just for the chance. Listen, I don't, I don't know about your history, man. I don't know what you've done, but I know what I've done. Man, I know my mistakes, and I know it's not a short list, it's a long list. And when I think back and say, man, God forgave me of what? Man, God forgave me of that? Like, how could he? Like, I deserve death. I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve mercy. I don't deserve grace. Man, I know what I've done. Man, I know what I've done to people. Man, I know what I've done when no one was watching. You know, I was playing tennis the other day, and I started talking to this guy about Jesus. And he made this response to me. He said, bro, listen, Jesus could never forgive me for what I've done. He could never forgive me for what I've done. And he's been holding that for like 25 years, that belief. Listen, there's nothing that Jesus cannot and does not want to forgive. There's not a thing, there's not a mistake, there's not a sin, there's not an issue. And that Jesus doesn't want to wipe you clean from. But here's the thing, if Jesus has done it for me, then man, I can do it for other people. Man, I can cut this process off here and not go into unforgiveness and not go into hatred and not go into false justice, man, and not going into something that I'm going to regret, man, that's going to have major repercussions later on in my life. And I can begin to walk in forgiveness. And then I can begin to walk in mercy and grace. And I can begin to bless those who curse me. Man, pray for those who spitefully use me. I mean, because I didn't go here, I went here. And I chose forgiveness. See, that's what, man, this weed of revenge, if you let it in your heart, man, it will destroy you. It will destroy you, friend, today. And you know what's crazy? Is that there are so many people who love Jesus who are in this path right here. They got hurt. But man, I can't forgive them. You know, we were praying with a little girl over in this corner, me and Sam were. And we were talking to her about forgiveness, and we were praying for her. And we said, listen, like, you gotta forgive this person. And she was like, I can't. She was so deeply hurt. But here's the thing. Because she was unwilling to forgive, she was trapped in all of her hate, in all of her pain. So this is what happens when I choose really to forgive. The first thing that happens is this, is that, man, I let God get them. Okay, vengeance is the Lord's. Second thing that happens is this, is that, man, is that I actually help bring that person to repentance, which is the ultimate goal of the kingdom. Listen, the ultimate goal of the kingdom is not for God to strike them down with a lightning bolt for what they did to me. The ultimate goal of the kingdom is, man, for that person to meet with Jesus and to get forgiveness for what they did and for them to get healed and whole. Because here's the thing, the reason why they hurt me is because they're hurt. Because they were hurt by somebody, man, because they were taken advantage of by somebody, man, because they were insulted first. See, it's a lot easier to forgive when you put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And lastly, man, I repay evil with blessing. Is when I do that, I let God bless me. The Bible says is that when I choose to bless people who do me evil, is that, man, I reap a blessing in return. So this is what I want to do with every eye closed. And if you guys go ahead and stand up for me. Yeah, with every eye closed today, man, I just want to open up the floor. You know, if I could go ahead and have my leaders come down today. If you're in the room today, and number one, with every eye closed for me, okay? Every eye closed for me. Number one. Yeah, Eric, come down. Michaela, come down. Isla, come down. Aaron, go ahead and come down. Taisha, come on down. If you're in the room today, and number one is this, man, is that if you do not know Jesus, okay, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, I'm not asking if you know church, man, I'm not asking if you know religion, man, I'm not even asking if you said a prayer. What I'm asking is this, is that are you following Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Have you put your faith in him, man, to save you? And have you committed your life to his lordship? Giving control of your life to him. If you're in the room today and you say, no, I haven't done that, but man, I want to be in relationship with Jesus. On the count of three, with every eye closed, I want you to raise your hands. One, two, three. Is there anybody in the room today that says, man, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. Anybody in the room today? Okay, awesome. Man, if you're in the room today and you say, Pastor Josh, I've been harboring unforgiveness for people who have hurt me, who have insulted me, who have cheated me, who have neglected me, who have sexually abused me, who have taken advantage of me. And today, you want to go on the alternate path. Man, and you want a life that's going to lead to blessing and wholeness and healing. And you don't want to be stuck in the cycle of pain and hurt that you're currently in. But man, you want freedom and you want to actually forgive that person. Come on the count of three, I want you to raise your hands. One, two, three. Am I talking to anybody in the room today? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see your hands. Anybody else in the room today? Thank you, I see your hand. Anybody else in the room today? Listen, if you raise your hand, I want you to come on down front with a leader, guys with guys and girls with girls. Listen, I want you to get brave. Don't be stuck in the cycle of pain that you're in. This is your moment of freedom, okay? So you guys can go ahead right now, if you raise your hand, come down and get prayed for, okay? With every eye closed in the room today, every eye closed in the room today. Come on down and get prayer and get healing and restoration. Yeah, come on. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Y'all listen, the altar is open. If you're in the room today and you need to walk in forgiveness, listen, one of the most unhealthy things you could ever do in your life is to walk in unforgiveness towards people who hurt you and to have a desire for them to pay for what they did to you. Jesus.
I was just praying and God put something in my heart that somebody is have unforgiveness to their earthly father. So they think that just because they come up here doesn't mean that they think that God is going to leave them just like their earthly father. And that's not going to happen. I just want you to know that whoever it is, He is not going to leave you. I promise you that. He's been over you since your earthly father left you. He's been over you every step of the way, everywhere you've been. I promise he would not let you down. So if that's anyone in here, I suggest you to come up here right now and just forgive your earthly father, because God is over you at all times of the day. And I really suggest you to come up here to get that forgiveness out.
Hearts today. We thank you for freedom, God, from unforgiveness, God. We thank you for freedom from bitterness, Jesus. God, and right now, we just choose, God, not to plant the weed of revenge, God, and unforgiveness, God, and bitterness, God, and holding grudges, God, and making people want to pay for what they did to us. God, in our hearts. But God, we release those people to you in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you that vengeance is not ours, but it's yours, God, and you will repay, God. You will repay, Jesus. So we thank you, God, that you are a God of justice, God, but you're also a God of grace and mercy. And so, Father, I even ask, God, as we move forward in life, God, that we're going to have moments where we get hurt, and we're going to have moments where we're mistreated and insulted and cheated. And, Father, I thank you that we're going to be people who respond, God, the kingdom way, God, showing grace and mercy, God, repaying evil with blessing, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen. Thank you.